Welcome to the Antiquarium of Sinister Happenings.
If you are uncomfortable with the occult or exploring other realms, I encourage you to stop listening to this immediately.
Find it on Bloody FM and wherever you get your podcasts.
Warning. The following podcast, which contains strong language and mature content, is unsuitable for children or for the faint of heart. The subject matter discussed will be frightening and graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Three spooked girls. When you wanna hear about the paranormal, you get the spooked girls. True crime that makes you hypothermal with the three spooked girls. Stabby snippets will give you dreams. Tara and Jessica will make you ask great along with the spooked girls. Bring on the slaughter. We on that haunted ground.
Spooked girls.
The three spooked girls.
Hey, Spooksters, and welcome back to another episode here on Three Spooked Girls. My name is Tara, and as always, I'm here with my girlfriend, Jessica.
Hello.
And today, as you may notice, this is not what we originally told you guys was going up Monday, but it's for a very, very important reason. So currently ongoing is the case of Micah Miller, and it just keeps going. And if you follow me on TikTok, you know I've already been covering it, but I wanted to sit down with Jess and get a whole episode with everything we know together. I've been invested since whatever fucking day all this came to light. I don't know if that was Friday or Saturday at this point, but I've been rabbit holing really bad, and I was able to debunk some stuff because there's a lot of accurate information out, but there's also some not true things. There's rumors and stuff, which with cases like this, especially when the family and the friends and everybody's like really trying to push it out. And because of everything we'll get into, you'll understand why there's like other stuff floating around. And honestly, some of it, like, who's to fucking say it's not true? We don't know. So if you have not seen anything about this, Micah Miller was 30 years old. She was married to a pastor named John Paul Miller. And this is going to be out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The thing that started getting attention on this was his announcement of her death. So what we know right now is she was found with a fatal gunshot wound in Lumber River State Park in North Carolina. And I believe I read it was about an hour away from them. It just started being very quickly evident that there's more to this. To kind of back up before we get to the sermon announcement thing, let's back it up a little bit so you have some context. So JP is a bit older than Micah, and literally 14-year age difference, which, you know, as an adult, like, okay, but here's the problem. And it's like quote Beauty and the Beast. It's a tale as old as time. So when Micah was 14 years old, she started attending the youth group at Solid Rock Church. And JP at that time was the youth pastor.
Ah.
Yes. 14 going into 15, he started grooming her. At the time, he was also married to a different woman, and they had 5 children.
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. There's a little talk, though, about his background. Some are saying there was another significant other before this wife, and some, I think, get confused with the wife that's the mother of his 5 kids, because people were saying, oh, she's passed away. She's dead. Like, she died first. This is the second wife type of thing. But that's not, at least for that wife, that's not true. I went looking to see, like, y'all, I got so much information on this. It's like that meme. It's the Kris Jenner meme. This is a case for the FBI, and that's me.
Full warning. Tara sent me like a shit ton of screenshots, and I did not read any of them because the second we decided to do this episode, I was like, no, I'm not going to know anything. Right. But it was like, I literally wrote in our mods group chat, I was like, the novel you sent me? Because it was so much information.
Yeah, at that was like at the very beginning of it. At the beginning, I had like 30 screenshots, but now I have like more. And then, yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, like the other wife didn't exist, but I don't know. And I'm not going to pretend to know. But the wife we do know about, I have confirmed she is alive and well. Okay. And, you know, like, it's not anything like that. So at least there is that. I don't know the situation with really his children, anything like that. But there was some history of not so great things when he was married to that wife, which, by the way, I'm sorry. She looks like, I saw the newspaper announcement because they got married, mm-hmm. I think back in like the 90s or something. Thing maybe, I can't remember, or early 2000s, but she looks exactly like Micah. It's really creepy. I'm like, oh, you have a very specific type. Okay. Which they're both beautiful. So it's not like me being an asshole, but I'm just like, wow, they look a lot alike. I was talking to somebody and they were like, oh my God, I thought that was her. I thought that was Micah in the picture. And I was like, no.
Yep. Some men have a very specific cookie cutter type. They're like, this is the person I like. And every person they date will be exact. Except for like every once in a while, there'll be like one deviation. And you're like, oh, where did this person come from? But like,
right.
For the most part, they're exactly like carbon copies of one another.
Yeah. So he got into some legal troubles during this because trash. Let me just read you these charges. And I did confirm there is a record for him because obviously I'm going to be transparent. The list of the charges I found on Reddit, but I went to the system to look up for the state of South Carolina. And it did confirm, yes, there is a history. There is charges here. There's records you can access. I haven't gone that route yet to get them or anything like that because you have to like, the fee is like affordable. It's whatever. But you have to like mail in a check or a cashier's check and then you gotta wait. And, you know, so it's like, I don't know how long that would take. So I just didn't bother. So the charges are as follows: knowingly damaged property times two, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession of liquor by a minor times two, possession of consumed liquor by a minor, possession of cannabis less than 2.5 grams the same night as the minor charges, contributing to the delinquency of a child, domestic battery bodily harm, domestic battery physical contact, assault/assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature times two. So there's a little of that. And also there was, I don't know if there was like any specific charges, but it was listed that he had been given a warning to get off the premises and he refused to leave type of situation, which it's like,
got it.
Got it. Yeah. Micah and JP stayed in contact and they got married when she was 23 and he was 37. Now, not only is he a pastor, it's also listed that he's the owner of the church he's at, which is Solid Rock. You can go on Google reviews and stuff. There are all kinds of people spilling tea. And I love to see it because people like this need to be exposed.
Love that it's on Google review.
Oh my God, right? So here's just one example. This was a one-star review, of course, and it said, he created a church on and out of adultery and still continues to do so. JP and the church kept trying to create division between me and my husband while we were there. I was told I couldn't serve because I wasn't good enough, I had trust issues, and that my heart wasn't in the kingdom. Meanwhile, the pastor is cheating on his wife and I'm the one with issues. We had seen him belittle his wife in front of us at dinner many times. He was intimidated by strong, outspoken women and wanted to shut them down any chance he got. He got mad at my husband for choosing me over the church. What pastor does that? What pastor buys part ownership of a bar? It is time for his abuse to stop. It is time for people to stop covering up and covering for this man. Too many lives have been hurt because of this man, and now a life has been lost because of him, meaning Micah.
Wow.
Yes. And people have been speaking out online. This was part of the novella I got going of screenshots that I was sharing with Jess. And you can watch the other sermon services, whatever, online. I believe the one I'm going to talk about in a little bit that addresses Micah has been taken down, but it was said by multiple people he's been known for his misogynistic views, would verbally attack people, and everyone feared for Micah. He, in front of people, like that review also said, verbally, financially, mentally, physically, spiritually, and sexually assaulted her throughout their marriage. And if she wanted to leave, he would have had her committed to a mental hospital. He openly talked about her struggles during his sermons. She did too, and like her testimonies and stuff, because while, yes, she did have mental health struggles in the past, her family and friends and people who knew her, like, there's no way this is a suicide. I'm just going to say that right now. There's no fucking way. We'll get more into that later. So I don't know if I need to say allegedly this is also what happened. That's just for legal reasons. That's not because I doubt it whatsoever. I think that's very clear. So allegedly, he would emotionally torture her, make her watch him have sex with other women in front of her, slashed her tires, stalked her, put tracking devices on her car, and she was even sleeping couch to couch because she was terrified of him finding her.
Wow.
And committing her to the hospital. Because, like, they, you know, they separated, obviously.
Well, this is what he did once, like, they were separated?
Well, like, the couch thing, yeah, like, trying to, but he did all of that stuff to her during their marriage.
Oh, my God.
Allegedly. If you're listening to audio, I just did air quotes. Now, from another friend's account, Micah escaped JP in February of this year, and friends were helping her, which is, like, good. That's the thing. Like, we'll talk about time and time again, and we have in other domestic violence type cases, that is the most dangerous time to leave, or is when you leave, I should say, because the abuser is pissed off. The abuser is extra aggressive, typically. It's a very, very scary time. It's a very, very scary time. Micah found out he was doing things with the money from the church, and that's when he had her committed. I'm assuming to try to shut her up. I don't know.
Well, and if you're, no one will believe you if you have a hint, like a big history of mental illness, especially if it's something along like delusions. I mean, I don't think JP really understands that this isn't 1940 anymore, and you can't just like commit your wife without like actually a history of mental illness.
Right. But
it sounds like he didn't get the memo.
No, he didn't, because he's fucking disgusting. Now, there's something I do want to address, because y'all know I went and fucking fact checked this. There was talks that the church was not filed as a legal nonprofit, and there was talks of like tax fraud and all this stuff, but I did check with the Secretary of State website. It's free, anybody can look stuff up. I used to work with like tax documents and stuff, so I automatically was like, let me check there. But like, average people may not know you could do this, but you can look it up to see if it's nonprofit and if it's like still valid and stuff. And it is, because you can access the filing document where they're like, yes, this has been accepted as a nonprofit, et cetera, et cetera. So it is. Not saying he's still not, didn't do anything sketchy, but like, it is listed as a nonprofit. So I'm not going to fuel the fire with those rumors. I just want to let you guys know. Now, there's a sermon he did in February of 2024, when I'm assuming all this stuff going. And I grabbed a little quote that he said in it to just kind of show how like, I know I haven't been to church like a ton, but like, I've been enough that like, this is, how is this appropriate? And how are people thinking this is an appropriate fucking thing to talk about? But okay. So he said, literally in the middle of him preaching, he said, you know, a year ago, my wife, they went to Africa and they had a wonderful trip. And she came back with the idea to start a school in Africa. She went on like a mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 weeks ago, she goes to the hospital, gets out, and just leaves me, completely leaves me, drains our bank accounts. And I go, guess what? While you're talking bad about me out there, I'm building a school in Africa for over 100 kids in order for them to be fed. One day, I'm going to preach to God about getting rich, strong, healthy, and finding a hot wife that loves Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. When my wife was in the hospital, you know, I looked at her phone and I counted over the past 2 years, 18 people who texted her and said, if you ever want to talk to someone about your husband, you can talk to me and say anything and I'll keep it confidential. And he was said to be visibly angry on stage. Not appropriate whatsoever.
I mean, here's the thing. There are churches out there who are run by good people who, not this church, obviously, who are run by good people who are nice. You all, if you've listened to the podcast before, you know I'm not a big fan of organized religion, not a big fan of church because of like the environment I grew up in. But there are churches where everybody knows the pastor's business. My mom attended this church in Chico that was very similar, where like the shit was happening to like the pastor's wife. Like she got arrested for like assaulting the pastor's child, which was not her child. And they talked about it from the pulpit the next Sunday. And I mean, it's not like anyone didn't know, because like half the people, or like majority of the people who were there when it happened, go to the church. But like when you put so much faith in one person, one man, they become infallible. They become like, there's no way. And I mean, this dude could literally get up on stage and have sex in front of people, and people would have been like, this is the will of God, because they're not following God. at this point, they're following a man. Mm-hmm. So whatever he does is quote unquote appropriate.
Right. Well, and then also the fact too, you have to think about, like, I'm sure people were afraid of him and they're like, if he's going to do this to his own wife, what is he going to do to someone that will stand up for her? You know, unfortunately.
Especially you're one of the 18 who texted her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Now, she originally filed for divorce in October of 2023, but that got dropped. So fast forward to 2 days before she was found dead. Not only was the paperwork filed for their divorce, but she also filed for a no contact, you know, protection order because he's doing all these fucking horrible things. I'm sorry, that's a weird coincidence that 2 days later she ends up dead. I don't want to get into it until we know later, because obviously we won't have access to like the autopsy or anything anytime soon, because it is an active investigation now. Originally it wasn't, but now it is, thank God. There's rumors, again, rumors, not saying fact. There's rumors that the gunshot wound was in the back of her head. I don't know if that's true. I'm not going to claim it is. It's just I'm relaying other information that was provided to me. But let's talk about her final week real quick. So there's been a few friends that have came forward and talked about all of this. One of the first screenshots when I started looking, I found for someone who is a part of her. And I'm going to read what she says. So this poster, her name is Angela. I'm not going to use her last name just for, you know, because I'm sure these people are being bombarded. And she wrote a post over the weekend. And she said, I know this is long, but it's the truth. Please take the time to read. Micah Miller deserves our total honesty and support. So here I sit for almost a week mourning the death of Micah Miller, watching, waiting, and praying for answers. I have only posted on her and how I feel about losing someone who is such a sweet soul. I'm going to interrupt for a second because I also went and found her Facebook. And when she was going through all of this in like February and March, in March, she started posting videos talking about this and just talking about, like, obviously, of course, like religion is very heavy because that was such a huge part of her life. And I was like, good for you, because I personally, I've not come across someone explaining it like this. Basically, she's just like, if you're in an abusive relationship, and I'm paraphrasing, if you're in an abusive relationship, marriage, whatever, like, that's not God's will. That is not God's will. Like, do not be afraid that God is going to turn his back on you if you leave. You deserve to be safe. And like going on about, like, you know, how like Jesus went through suffering, so like we don't have to, and, you know, things like that, trying to be like, it's okay to leave. So many times people are told if they leave, they're going to fucking go to hell if they get a divorce. But it's like, she was trying to help other people while she's still in real time was going through this. And just, it made me cry. Like there's a few videos and I watched them all and they just like hurt my soul personally so bad. And I think anyone who watches it would, even if you're not a domestic violence survivor, you would have a similar reaction, because it's like, she's not only trying to like obviously take care of her real life shit, she's still trying to, you know, serve her community that she has, because she was like super involved in church and like a worship leader and like all these other things, you know, that just goes to show like her character, whether you agree with the religion or not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You could just tell she was a good person and she did not deserve any of this. No matter what happened, like, she did not deserve any of this. Okay. I miss her, and I've been struggling to wrap my head around her being gone and the circumstances surrounding her death. I will not sit here and pretend that I know exactly what happened on Saturday, but I know a lot. I'm well aware in the past that Micah had mental health issues and I witnessed her struggle firsthand, but I also know that in the last few months, this has been used as a weapon to control her, as we've talked about. The Micah I saw in the beginning of her mental health journey was not the Micah I witnessed in the last month. The Micah I see was a grown woman trying to break the chains of an abusive marriage. When I talked to Micah last, she was making plans, moving forward and trusting God. Her faith was her shield. She had reconnected with people she had been isolated from, myself included. She was sorting out her new normal and God was putting the right people around her. When we had our first meeting in years, we sat down at lunch and talked until dinner time for about 5 hours. She had been in regular communication since that day. I was part of Micah's church for years. We did life together during that season. Leaving the church was one of the hardest things Brian, I'm assuming her spouse, and I ever did. We loved the people in that church, but God made it clear that we needed to go because it was a toxic environment. We endured relentless attacks from the pastor. It was unlike anything we had ever experienced. In ministry, God calls us when he needs us, and instead of supporting and loving us, our entire family became under attack. There were attempts to sabotage us in our new church home, calls made to employers, dropping in at my place of business in the middle of my workday when I refused to answer calls. the calls, that's in all caps, more than I can count. Emails were rants in writing. It was a nightmare for close to a month. Micah wasn't just leaving the church. She was leaving her marriage. She was done. She had hired a lawyer. She moved out and she was planning on getting a divorce, as we know from the filings. She was left with nothing but her faith, her family, and her small circle of friends. Was it hard? Yes. She had her tires cut multiple times. See, this is why I'm like, fuck allegedly, but like, obviously I got to cover our asses because people can confirm this happened. So found multiple trackers on her car, couch hopped in fear of being found, and was hospitalized by her husband when it was completely unnecessary. She confided in me that she felt like an orphan and feared that no church would want her because of him. What she didn't know is that a large portion of us who had experienced the wrath of exiting that church were waiting for her with open arms. I talked with her multiple times in her final week here on earth. She was making plans to get her hair cut, getting help with her car payment because she was a little short after paying her divorce lawyer, and planning to meet us for the second service at church on Sunday. My final text with her on Friday at 9:19 p.m. was a woman making plans to live. So that's why people are like, wait a minute. Yeah. Because can speak from experience, someone who has been suicidal, if you're seriously going to do that, you're not gonna waste the time worrying about paying bills and shit. You're just not. And that'll bring us to the sermon.
We're not gonna do an altar call today. Instead, I'm going to have you stand up and I'm going to make an announcement. And after the announcement, I'm going to ask that you leave church quietly and don't talk about the announcement here in the building, please, if you can. So y'all can stand to your feet. Before I make the announcement, I also want to say that my request to you is that you will continue to come to church and serve and give for the next, little bit. I'm taking a little bit of a break, and I don't want to have to worry about the church. My break may be a few days, a few weeks. I don't know. I got a call late last night. My wife has passed away. And yeah, it was self-induced, and it was up in North Carolina. And we're going to have a funeral for her next Sunday here at 3 p.m. And so it's all I can – yeah, I'm just kind of going on adrenaline right now. So y'all pray for me and my kids and everybody. And she wasn't, y'all knew that she wasn't well mentally and that she needed her medicine that was hard to get to her. And so I'm sure there'll be more details to come, but just keep our family in your prayers. And I'm going to let Pastor Randall, my bishop, he can pray. I'll get him a microphone, he'll pray out. And if you have anything you want to share as well, I appreciate it.
So there's that. Now, I'm confused. It appeared and people were saying this was done at the end after he preached all fucking day, and some were like, oh, it was in the beginning, and I'm like, I don't know. He also preached the next day. He came back. He didn't take like any time off. But here's the thing, he's planting seeds. He's saying, my wife struggled with her mental health and all of this stuff, and he's trying to put blame on her.
As someone who grew up in a church, I can most definitely tell you that it was at the end of a service, because the way that the services are traditionally, and even non-traditional churches still do this the same. It's like you have a greeting time and like a praise and worship time. Then you have a sermon, and then there's typically a big ass prayer, and then there's an altar call. And he says in that video he's like, there's no altar call today. And altar calls are at the end, because otherwise you'd end up with like a crazy amount of time, like where your sermon would be pushed like back. And most of these churches have multiple sermons. Multiple services. So you kind of have to have that like at the end, trying to make people believe altar calls are at the beginning. What kind of nonsense is that?
Oh, yeah.
And Southern church people.
It was said that during that sermon that day, he was not showing any kind of like remorse, sadness, nothing. He was even cracking jokes like normal. It's just so weird, because he literally says in there, as you guys saw, like he tells them, get up and don't talk about it here. Get up and don't talk about it. Just go. Don't talk.
That was the strangest thing I had ever seen in my life. It was.
Don't forget. He also had to make sure he asked for that money. Don't forget to contribute. Don't forget to serve your church.
That tracks. I was just like, wait, So he's going to make this announcement and then be like, don't talk about it. But like, why make the announcement? Also, it could have been so much better. Like if he had done it, like, you know, at the beginning of the sermon, he could have done the whole thing. Like, I'm sorry, I'm trying to tell an idiot how to do his own, to do shit better. But like, what makes this so unbelievable? That's what I'm trying to say, is that it is this little tiny nugget of knowledge at the end, and not like most people would have, one, not been on the pulpit that day.
No,
they wouldn't have been in church that day. There would have been like an announcement, and then they probably would have done something like, if you have mental health issues and things like that, because that was like a big thing growing up in churches, that like mental health was like something you had to give to God. And so he could have done an altar call.
It's fucking disgusting. He is so fucking gross. And of course he like jumped on, oh, I'm gonna maybe take a little break. Like I said, he didn't. So he absolutely was the one that wrote this obituary. And it is so self-serving. You're gonna be pissed. You're gonna all be pissed. I'm gonna skip the part where it's like, you know, her age, the date of death, things like that, and then the surviving family members. So here we go. Michael was energetic, affirming, adventurous, faithful, loving, giving, forgiving, talented, joyous, creative, assertive, bold, determined, authoritative, passionate, hardworking, a risk taker, and so much more. Her and JP have been friends since 2009 and married in 2017. Again, 14, 15 years old. Just saying, and spent almost every single day and night together. Micah loved her little dog, Loki. She loved outdoor activities like waterfall rappelling, hiking, skydiving, running, and going to the beach. Micah would take on any challenge, even if it was just being a vegan for an entire year. Micah was a great stepmother and an amazing wife. She helped Pastor JP with the church in every way. Micah was the worship leader, graphics designer, youth leader, women's ministry leader, and pastor's assistant, aka she did his whole fucking job. Just saying.
And like, I was like, wow, she a busy woman.
Yeah. And she did all of this with the utmost integrity and faithfulness. Micah made the greatest of efforts to always be the best wife she could be. She truly served Jesus and her husband with all of her heart. She would praise her husband after every church service, telling him he was the best preacher in the world. And then in parentheses, it says, even if it wasn't true. She also told him he was the funniest preacher in the world, even though that wasn't true either. Parentheses. Micah loved her family so much. And then how they put so, there's like a like eight O's. There's like a bunch of O's. I'm like, okay. And she looked forward to every text from her father or brother. She saw every opportunity to pour into her sisters. There were thousands of nights she would pray out loud for God to always bless and take care of her family. They were consistent on her mind. Micah wanted more than anything for each member of her family to serve Jesus continually. Micah loved her ice baths, nice car, sauna, house, etc. But more than anything on earth was her desire to see people come to Jesus. Like, why are you going to include all that shit about like, oh my God, I'm so great. Like, fuck you. Like, why are you making your wife's obituary about yourself? This is a rhetorical question. We fucking know why. But I'm just like,
but ew. Also, this doesn't sound like a depressed person. This doesn't sound someone who is, and I get masking because, you know, I do that all the time. Yeah. But like the amount of adjectives that were used to describe her in that beginning part was like so much. And I would have been like, that's a lot.
Yeah. And like her family has spoken out on this, and for lack of better words, basically is like, okay, JP, how are you going to be so self-serving? Like, this is a crock of shit and it doesn't feel personal, because it doesn't. And it's just like a lot of weird third person things, which I get, like, you know, it's an obituary, but it's just like, without even the context, I'd be like, that's kind of worded very weirdly. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just,
it's kind of worded like you just barely know a person. Like, he probably barely paid attention to his wife and therefore could only write a superficial obituary, and also like wanted it to seem like they were so happy.
For sure. So the church ended up permanently closing for the time being during all of this. Their website has been deactivated. You can no longer access that as of today, May 5th. The thing was because people were fucking going hard with their church values. Now, if you Google Solid Rock Church Myrtle Beach core values, you can still read part of it. I was going to get a screenshot last night, and then I got distracted because my cat caused mayhem. I have a black cat. I have other cats too, but like the black cat is a psycho. Here's the little glimpses we can still see. So our mission, and I'll read as much as I can because obviously you can't see the whole thing. Our mission is to meet the needs and share Jesus. And we do this one relationship at a time. We believe sharing the gospel and loving people well requires time. And then they also go on to say, we believe in one God eternally existing in three quality divine persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who know, love, and glorify one another. And their core values, this one stood out to me, and this one you can still see. It says, love God, love people. Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That is the most important commandment. Well, sir, being abusive, committing adultery, and all these other things is not very godlike. Mm-mm. So that's interesting. And apparently his father is like also very bad. So in the 90s, his dad, Wayne Miller, was arrested for hooking up with a minor in a shower, got molestation charges, and then had them expunged. Interesting. And there was talk about the Bible college, his Bible college. He forced J-1 visa students who paid to trail to the U.S. to attend this college, failure to pay them even minimum wage, failure to provide them with adequate shelter, food, and more. He had federal charges from ICE for abusing these students. He was also exposed for, quote, lewd acts in Pakistan a few years back. He was living in a private society at the time called Eden Garden, which was full of younger boys. Remember, he had history of molestation, which we just talked about. Jerry Savelle, who started a church in Pakistan that Wayne was associated with, passed away on April 14th of 2024 with no clear cause of death. In a video, you can see them talk about how Dr. Jerry Savelle didn't know all of the illegal things Wayne was doing and didn't realize that he was contributing to that. He had a plan to make a false accusation in the Pakistan court system because he was about to get exposed for all of this horrible shit he's doing. And there was additional allegations that were said to be proven false by the Pakistan court this past October, and that he had a younger lover who was a male come to America with his sister, and his friend, whose name is Troy, was the sponsor to marry the sister so that they could come here. And there was an article about Troy in 2003 that read, quote, a former Myrtle Beach area pastor is facing charges of molestation. 32-year-old Robert Troy Taylor turned himself into Georgetown County authorities on Saturday. He was a former pastor at the Low Country Community Church in Murrells Inlet, just south of Myrtle Beach. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. The charges were reportedly connected to two incidences with 12-year-old boys from almost a decade ago. So, you know, not only is he trash, but his friends are also trash, which it's like, if you guys have watched like any of our coverage on stuff, we've talked about many, many organizations that have this fucking shit. JP's older son had a history of domestic abuse against his wife and served time in jail for hitting her over the head with a glass bottle in January of this year.
Jesus Christ.
Right? On top of that, also why he's getting attention as of late is there have been pictures circulating of him with his girlfriend out and about, going to dinner, laughing, joking. Here's all the, I'll show you guys all overlay pictures to a woman named Susie Skinner. Now, what makes it weird, again, not accusing anyone, but it's just pointing out weird shit because that's what I do. Her husband also passed away. So also I found it funny, and I didn't bother fucking screenshotting it, but she had a church spotlight on the website. And I'm like, interesting. Interesting. So her husband had been like an avid surfer and all of this stuff. I'm assuming there was like an accident or something because he became wheelchair bound. He was a quadriplegic, I believe. But here's the thing that's weird is like he was working with like the director from like a surf association, like a very, very prestige dude. Mm-hmm. And they were like trying to find ways to like help him work, get back in the water and all of that stuff. Obviously, it's like very controlled, very like obviously you got to have, you know, people around type of thing. But the thing is, he died because he, quote, accidentally fell into a pool. So he drowned. One, why is nobody with him? Not that, like, right, you know, he has to be babysat, but it's like, if you're going to be near water or doing things, like, there's that. And people just found that, like, really, really suspicious and question a lot of things. And because it was ruled an accidental death, I don't know how deep into, like, the autopsy they went. Obviously, the cause of death, drowning. But I don't know. People are just like, that's sketch, that's sketch, that's sketch.
I mean, if he's a quadriplegic, and he gets pushed into a pool.
Yeah. He can't do anything.
Hard to prove that. I mean, there could be literally zero signs of abuse before. And then that happens.
And JP, he conducted, ran the funeral for him. Mm. And there's people saying it's unclear if her and JP were involved at this time or not. So no confirmation on that. Some people say yes, and some people say like no, but I wouldn't be surprised. Just saying. So in regards to all this, Susie made like a statement or said to someone, she said, quote, "He is my friend. His wife died 4 days ago and he had no one to eat with. He asked some people to sit with him, but no one would go. So when he asked if I could go, I went. We have been friends for years. It wasn't a date. People have said he killed his wife. We think she called the police before she did that and said that she bought a gun and wanted to kill herself and wanted to make sure that they could ping her phone so her family could find her body." And in parentheses, this says this was from a nurse at the hospital. "Then she did it. She had attempted suicide before. She is schizophrenic, bipolar, and had dependent personality disorder. She put herself off her medication starting in December against her doctor's order and JP's wishes, and even texted her family to tell them she was doing it. This is the longest she has been off lithium since being diagnosed in 2017. A few weeks later, she threw a bell out of the car while driving on the highway because she thought it was a snake. She recently played chess alone, talking to herself. When they asked her what she was doing, she said playing chess with a demon. She was also very, not extremely, mentally ill." That's like such a contradicting sentence. "And the people who post things like this on social media haven't spoken to her or JP in years. They were part of his first church that ended in 2015. So none of that is what people make it look like." So you're also planting seeds. Let's also plant seeds.
Super the same narrative with a lot more detail because you're spilling, quote unquote, the tea. But okay, let's say that part of this is factual. Let's say that the lithium part is factual. Getting off lithium, it's terrifying. We talked about it on the Britney case, is that when you're detoxing from lithium, it's hell on earth. But I'm sorry, no one else has come forward and said like she's schizophrenic or bipolar or has whatever else she said. This just seems like a woman who's like, I got caught fucking the guy whose wife just died and I'm trying to cover my ass by like basically discrediting this woman. She could have left it at, hey, he was sad and wanted to go to dinner and didn't have anyone to go with, and I went with him. Could have left it at that.
Well, yes, but also like what popped into my brain when I read that, I was just like, you're under all this scrutiny and you're supposedly grieving, but like, I get it. Everybody grieves different, but motherfucker, you're smiling and you're laughing and you're joking in these fucking pictures. If you really wanted food that bad, DoorDash it. Like,
right. You're going out and it's been like multiple times, right? At this point, it's not just like the one time.
Oh yeah. It's They've been out like, a few times. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you can just divorce people. You don't have to kill them.
Literally.
I've been divorced. It's not hard. It's so much better than just murder. Just saying.
And the other thing was in that sermon that we listened to earlier, keep in mind, he's the one putting out this narrative on the cause of death. Authorities haven't said anything officially because, hello, they're still investigating it. It's just planting the seed. And it's so, so gross.
Well, it does seem like what he's trying to do, like with this Susie character, at least, is he said, oh, she's killed herself. And now I need other people to vouch for what I'm saying. So then if he's put out there like, oh, she was mentally unwell, other people are going to be like, oh, I remember this one time where like she just started crying uncontrollably. But like really it was is that her husband just yelled at her and like, you know.
Yeah, that's the wild thing too. The ones that aren't like, you know, in his pocket, they're whistleblowing and I'm fucking here for it because you know what? This is so disgusting. Like if she was murdered, there needs to be accountability. He needs to go to prison. There's no justice for her if people just don't talk about this. And that's why I've been so vocal about it, because normally these like developing ones, I kind of sit back and watch. Mm-hmm. But this one I could not, because it's so awful. And there's so many people out there that go through similar things, myself included. It's not okay. And it's like, my thing is like, I don't want anyone to see this case and take it as like a warning or something to be like, oh my God, if I try to leave my abuser, this might happen to me. You know, I don't want any, like, that's a sad reality. It does happen to so many men and women every single fucking day, but it's like, no, I can't let it go. I can't. I fucking cannot. And there will probably be more bonus episodes on this stuff goes on, but I cannot let this go. Like, this is so, like, so insane. Cannot let it go. And the fact that he's just acting like, like, whatever.
Well, there's
whether they're separated, like, here's the thing, whether they're separated or not,
You knew this person for like 15 years.
Right.
You've known this person for so long. Whether your relationship works out or not, like if you're like a good human, you're going, like there's gonna be sadness. Like it's not like she just left him and moved to a different state. She's gone. Like she is gone.
Right.
So I cannot wrap my head around people like that. Like
there's a sense of entitlement in a lot of churches, especially like small homegrown churches. I have seen, this is my observation, so people can get bent. I have seen where men and women who are pastors become godlike. They become everything to their congregation. And suddenly their actions can contradict the word of God. Like, here's the thing. I know the Bible. I studied it. I went to college for it. Like, I know. And by the way, if you are a minister and you're acting like this, just remember the Bible talks about that there's a special place in hell for people who are leaders of the church who deceive people. So if the Bible is true, you're super fucked. Like, you're getting it in the end. Also, there's like a lack of accountability. Pastors get this like free pass. And it's why churches can become cults so easy, is because people start following. I know this sounds like Jessica when she was in Bible college, but like people start following the man and not the religion. And that's not how it's supposed to be. Like, it's supposed to be the way that the church is supposed to be set up, is that there's the God and then there's a man who like takes the messages from God and preaches and like nurtures. And there's a reason why pastors are supposed to be called shepherds, is because they're supposed to take care of the flock. And really what we've seen in the 21st century of Christianity is that the church is there to facilitate the need of the pastor and build up that ego and build up this man to be godlike and to be worshiped. And then people are like, I don't understand. I mean, look, like we did the whole fucking like Gwen shit, like same like people have transformed the church to be about their leader versus their God. Why would they think that they would have, why would he think he'd have accountability? He's never had to have accountability.
Exactly. And that's what makes people like this so dangerous, is they think they're untouchable and that they're going to get away with things. Cause like, guarantee, whether he's guilty or not, which you guys already know how we feel, I'm sure he did not even think it was a possibility for this to become national news. I don't think he had any kind of inkling that this would have happened. He thought people would believe him and what the bullshit he put out. Mm-hmm. And everyone would, of course, you know, be sad and honor her memory and leave it at that. But this is when her family and her friends come in clutch, because they are being like, no, this is not, like, her sister Sierra has been very vocal on TikTok about things going on. This is also so telling to me. The church had their own memorial service separate from the family. And they, in real time, they had it this morning. And there was a group of people who went to rally and protest, you know, to get justice for her. The other service, which by the time you're seeing this, it would have already happened, but they are having their own memorial service for her in the afternoon today. And they were encouraging people like, hey, come to this, you know, come show your support here, come show your, you know, your support and your love for Micah, that one. So that was just like another thing. And it's just, God, it's so heartbreaking. And people have said this in my comments, it's another Chris Watts, Drew Peterson situation. It's again, that thing of like these men being like, I'm just the unluckiest piece of shit in the world. It's like, no.
And in positions of power like this man, he doesn't even have to be the one who pulls the trigger. He could put it in someone else's mind that Micah is out there to destroy the church, and the wrong person can step in. However, homeboy has just, his actions are like of a guilty person. Is, I'm going to make the announcement like a quick rip the Band-Aid off, and then I'm not going to talk about it. It's just like the obituary being like over fluffed, if that makes sense. Like, nobody needs that many adjectives about themselves. No one wants that many adjectives about themselves. Like, yeah, it was a hard train to follow.
I feel like it was a distraction, one, or two, for a deterrent to kind of like hope people won't keep, because it was a long list. So it's like, maybe they went in with the idea thinking like, oh, if we do all this, like they won't bother reading the rest of it, blah, 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 which is fucking disgusting in itself. But
and it also could be like, you know, it could be something that this little girlfriend wrote too. Like, JP doesn't really seem like the type of person who does his own work. So maybe it was somebody else. And I mean, that's worrisome in my opinion, if I'm Susie Skinner, I'm sitting here going, wow, what happens when I mess up? Like, am I going to have mental health issues? Like, I don't know. It's very telling. Like, her story of the reason why is that nobody wanted to go to dinner with him. Maybe that's a big flag. Like, that's a big flag on the play. Like, people are like, wait a second. I don't want to be seen out with this man. Something's not right. I do love that you're putting it out there and you're helping get justice for Micah, because ultimately when we think of like the Chris Watts and those type of people, like,
can you imagine if there was TikTok back then? Like, oh, right. Just saying, whether you like TikTok or not, and whether you like social media or not, it has become such a pivotal tool to catch the attention of who needs to be hearing about these things. We saw it with Gabby Petito too.
For sure. It's either I think you sent it to me, and we're talking about like the Chris Watts, like People magazine or online just did like a spotlight on him. Like, what's life like on the inside? I hope it's terrible. I hope you're getting shanked every other day. Like, I know that that doesn't make me a good person to say, but like, dude, you fucking killed your children because you wanted to be with your mistress. Like, we have to stop like looking at these people and being like, what's going on with the murderer? No, like, and Micah needs justice. And
yeah,
unfortunately, that means people are going to be looking at, well, not unfortunately, but like, people are going to be looking into JP's life a lot. And bro, like, it's not a good look. Not that he's listening to anyone else, but like, this isn't a good look for you, sir. Like, you're looking so guilty. Like, if you were like, what is a guilty person going to do? You're just doing every single thing that a guilty person does. And I'm supposed to believe that you had nothing to do with it. I mean, she got a protective order against him. And then the next, like within a couple of days, turned up dead. Even if it was a clear, like I know that you mentioned earlier, allegedly, like the gunshot was in the back of the head, but we don't have confirmation of that. Mm-hmm. Even if it was, that's not traditionally how women kill themselves. We've talked about this. Like, there's a whole thing. And also, like, outside in a park, that seems weird.
Yeah, the whole thing is really odd. Weird. It's weird and it's disturbing and it's so fucking heartbreaking. So Major Damian McLean with the Robeson County Sheriff's Office has mentioned when they announced that they were looking into this, that there was going to be additional information released in the next few days. I don't know what day that is. We will let you guys know, of course, but they said at this stage, there's nothing to suggest a threat to the wider community, which obviously some people have reacted like, what do you mean? Like, if someone did kill her? And it's like, no, because it was obviously like very targeted to her.
Yeah.
Yes. So I can understand why they're saying that. And it's just like, that's the thing to keep in mind. Like, their hands are tied since they are investigating this actively. Like, that's the thing people forget is like, they can't put everything out there because it could end up tipping him off or tipping, you know, someone who may or may not be helping him off or what have you, you know? So it's just, it's a lot. And I hate this. I hate that we exist in a world with people that are evil. Because whether, like, let's be honest, at the end of the day, whether he took her life or not, he still was abusive to multiple people. It goes further than his relationships. Like, and that's not okay. And I genuinely hope that Micah gets justice and that any other victims he had, they can get justice too, because this is awful. And I feel like as a society, especially like women, we're tired of this shit. We are tired of this shit. We are tired of being treated like we're just like, we're a pet, we're something to show off, you know, and things like that. And it's like, okay, well, I'm sorry. And this is like talking generally at this point, just because like we don't fit in the box you want us to fit, or we challenge you, or we bring other facts and tables and pushback to you, that does not justify abusing or taking somebody's life. It doesn't.
1,000%.
It doesn't.
You are correct. It's about the fact that like women are constantly like, we're abused on so many different levels just existing. Like, well, you're too fat. And so a lot of men think they can comment on like, well, I don't see the value in you because you don't fit what my desire is. Well, cool. Guess what? I don't think your pubic beard is attractive either. So like, let's just not be in a relationship. Like, that's great. I don't like you. You don't like me. Let's move on. Like, it doesn't have to be this whole thing of like, well, she upset me and I need to tell her, or there's, I need no to be abusive. Right.
Like,
just realize that there are going to be people in this world that you exist with that you're not going to be compatible with. Just fucking move on. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. And you shouldn't settle or try to make yourself to be somebody's perfect checklist just because they think you should be. I don't know. That was my soapbox.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think most people do too. I will go ahead and include the link to the tips page in the show notes for you guys. And we never do this, but I am going to ask you guys, please interact with this, whether you're on, you know, audio or you're on YouTube, please interact with this. Please share this because Micah deserves justice and this pressure needs to keep going. There's, you know, I'm so glad I'm seeing more creators talk about it. And it's a story that needs to be told. It's a story that needs to be told. And there needs to be the pressure to actually get her justice, not just sweep it under the rug like so many other cases have been. And if you are someone who is in a similar situation, like, please know there is so many people out there that are willing to help you. Shoot, you can message our socials. I will get you what resources for your area. I will be like, I will be bothered. I'm so fucking pressed. I'm so fucking pressed. And everybody else should be too. With that, I will stop ranting now. We will go ahead and wrap things up for today. Again, if you're watching this, we recorded it on May 5th. So if there's any information in between, I'll post something so you guys can have the latest updates. We are keeping a close eye on this one, so I'm sure we will have more content coming. All right. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and sign off. And we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.